Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Hello there and welcome once again to the Gary Zimak Show. I am Gary Zimak. I'm going to be your host for the next 30 minutes, and I'm so glad you were able to join me for the program today. Pull up a chair, grab a snack, a beverage, whatever you need to do. Let's get comfortable. Today we are going to talk about the Mass readings for the 31st Sunday in Ordinary Time. Today's message is all about our call to conversion. What is conversion anyway? It's a really simple concept, although the word I think, see if you agree, the word can be a little confusing at times. Conversion is all about turning away from the desire to do whatever pleases us, mainly sin, and turning closer to the Lord and obeying His will. So in other words, we turn away from our desire to do what we want, and instead we do what God wants. This is what it's really the whole Christian message, and especially the message of Jesus Christ when he came to earth, is all about this, all about converting, repenting, believing in the gospel. All that stuff you've heard for so many years, that's the essence of our message, as Christians. Today's readings are all about that. And especially, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but especially the Lord's mercy. In other words, he cuts us a lot of slack and he's really patient with us in order to wait for us to convert, to really finally say, and for some of us, it's taking longer than others, but to finally say, Lord, I want to do this your way and not my way. But that's the message for the readings. We'll look at them in depth throughout the rest of the program. But before we go any further, let's turn to our Heavenly Father, like we do at the start of every program, and turn to Him and ask Him to be with us, to help us, to strengthen us. We're also going to praise and thank Him for all of His goodness to us. So if you would join me, let's begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Father in heaven, it's us again. So glad to be with you, Father. You know what? Thank you. Thank you for loving us into existence. Thank you for continuing to sustain us, Father, because without you, there is no way that we would be alive. So we're very grateful for that. We recognize that everything that happens to us is a blessing in some way. Even when it's unpleasant, we realize that you are allowing certain things to happen in our lives to help us, to ultimately help us on the road to heaven. Man, Father, that is so hard to understand. But by faith, we're able to really understand it, maybe not feel it, but understand it. So thank you, Father, not only for the great things that happen to us, but also for the crosses, the burdens, because we know that they draw us closer to you through your Son, Jesus. So we thank you for that, Father. We offer up now any suffering that we may be experiencing. We offer it up, Father. We unite it with the suffering of Jesus on the cross, and we ask you to accept that as prayer. Accept our suffering as prayer. Father, we wish to do your will, so we come to you today. We ask you to help us. Make known to us what we can do to please you this day, to bring you glory and honor, which you absolutely deserve. Father, thank you. Thank you for being always available at all times. Thank you for being a constant presence in our lives. And please help us to know what it is that we should do this day and every day. And Father, specifically, I ask you today to guide my words, my thoughts, so that your message can go out over the radio airwaves through this program. I want your message and not my message to go out. Father, I am so grateful to be used as your instrument, as imperfect as I am. It's an incredible privilege. So please give me some help, because I can't do this on my own. Father, we ask for these things in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Thanks for praying with me. Again, if you're just tuning in, I'm Gary Zimek. This is the Gary Zimek Show. We come to you once a week on numerous podcast outlets, also on several Catholic radio stations around the country. Please let your friends know about this program. If you need more information about my work, if you'd like to sign up for my daily newsletter, if you'd like to purchase my books, if you could possibly make a donation to my full-time ministry, all of that can be done by going to my website, followingthetruth.com. Followingthetruth.com. By the way, right now I am trying to fill in the gaps in my schedule for Lent of 2020. It's kind of hard to believe as we approach Advent that I'm already talking about Lent, but really, I've got to get these dates settled now because churches are already booking and scheduling events for Lent of 2020. If you would like to bring me to your parish or your conference to give a talk, a retreat, or a parish mission, go to my website, followingthetruth.com, and you can contact me, and let's make that happen. I'd love to get this message out there. As you may or may not know, I am known best for my messages about overcoming anxiety. So if you're a worrier, man, I want to talk to you, talk to your parishioners about this message. So followingthetruth.com, let's do this. I would like to come out and remind everyone at your parish, at your conference, that Christ, he is real. He wants to be a part of your life. And oftentimes, he waits for you to ask his permission to get involved. So, to give him permission, I should say, to get involved in your life. Christ is the secret to overcoming anxiety. That's the message I have. I would like to share it. Followingthetruth.com is the place to go. All right, so we are looking today at the Mass readings for the 31st week in Ordinary Time. We're getting, and I find this really hard to believe, and I do this show every week. This should not catch me by surprise, but we are nearing the end of the church year or the liturgical year. There are 33 Sundays in Ordinary Time. We're at 31 this week, so we're only 2 weeks away, but there is an additional Sunday. The 34th week is a special day. It is the Solemnity of Christ the King. But guess what? After that, Advent begins. So yeah, man, we are within striking distance of the Advent season. The church year starts all over again. But right now, we're going to begin this process. Just like an airline, if you're taking an airplane, you get a notice about 30 minutes in advance when the plane begins to descend, and the pilot will come on and say, "We have begun our descent into whatever airport." This is the way it is for the church year. These readings, this week, the following 2 weeks, and then Christ the King, where we recognize the fact that Christ is our rightful King. He should be the King of our lives. These readings are designed to bring the church year to a close and to get us ready to prepare during the season of Advent. Advent's a season of preparation. It's a season of hope. But right now, we're going to be hearing about things that close out the church year. Today, we'll look at this idea of conversion, of moving away from sin, moving closer to the Lord. We can either do one of two things. We can either do what feels good, which 9 times out of 10 is going to amount to something sinful, not always, but some quite often, or we can do what the Lord wants us to do, which, you know, it's funny, that ultimately is going to feel even better, even though at the time sin can seem mighty attractive, and that's the real danger about sin. Let's look at these readings as I always do. I'm going to start with the gospel. We're going to lead with the gospel because we'll get the main message from the gospel. Then we'll look at the first reading, the psalm, and the second reading, and you'll see that there is a common theme here, and I already told you about that. It's conversion. Today in the gospel, we'll hear of the encounter in Luke's gospel between Jesus and our old buddy, the tax collector Zacchaeus. Now, last week, we heard about a tax collector who ended up looking a lot better than the Pharisee. They're both in the temple praying. The Pharisee is saying, "Thank you, God, because I'm not like this other tax collector, this tax collector who is a sinner. He's a no good so-and-so, but me, I'm really good. Thank you for making me so good." The tax collector says, "Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. I am unworthy to even look at you. I'm just going to keep my head down." Jesus was very clear that the tax collector was justified. He's the guy that in the eyes of God was doing the right thing. The Pharisee, the person who supposedly was holy and followed the law, he was self-righteous. It was all about him and not about God. Today we look at another tax collector by the name of Zacchaeus. Luke 19, verses 1 through 10. Here's the story. At that time, Jesus came to Jericho and intended to pass through the town. Now a man there named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and also a wealthy man, was seeking to see who Jesus was. But he could not see him because of the crowd, for he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. When he reached the place, Jesus looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly, for today I must stay at your house." And he came down quickly and received him with joy. When they all saw this, they began to grumble, saying, "He has gone to stay at the house of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Behold, half of my possessions, Lord, I shall give to the poor. And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a descendant of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save what was lost." It's a great story, isn't it? We picture this Zacchaeus, this short tax collector, who's trying to see Jesus. Now remember, the tax collectors are despised by the Jews at the time, because they're essentially stealing their money. They are working for the Roman government, and they're skimming money off of the top. So they're getting rich at the expense of the common people. So they're thought of as thieves. They are not thought of very highly. Zacchaeus is a wealthy man. He's the chief tax collector, not just a regular tax collector, but the chief tax collector. He's the head honcho, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. It doesn't say that he was feeling guilty about what he was doing or anything. He is just a man seeking to find out about Jesus. And I think so many of us start out that way. We get intrigued about Jesus. We might not even intend to follow him as a disciple, but we just get intrigued by him, and we want to find out more about him for one reason or another. But Zacchaeus couldn't see Jesus because of the crowd. Remember, he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. Here's a reminder, and this is a lesson that I have learned. I have read this in so many different spiritual books. If you desire to be holy, right? No matter how much of a sinner you think you are, no matter how weak you are, no matter how incapable of ultimately becoming a saint and ending up in heaven you think you may be, that very desire for it to happen is going to just about guarantee that it will happen, because the Lord is going to respond to that desire. If you open up your heart and you say, "Lord, I just can't do it. I can't stop running my mouth. I can't stop committing this habitual sin. I can't stop doing what I know is wrong, but I really, really, really want to change." If you have that desire, Jesus can jump all over that, because you're not going to convert on your own. The only way you and I can convert is through the power of the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you, I have had this desire for a long time to get to know Jesus better, to get to know my Heavenly Father better, to get to know the Holy Spirit better. But I am an incredibly weak person, and I get discouraged very easily. I mean, that's honestly who I am. That's my nature. But I feel that the Holy Spirit is working with me and helping with me. I got a long way to go, but the desire is there. So here's what I would say. If you don't feel the desire, if you're maybe a little lukewarm about really converting and becoming a better person, but you know deep down inside you should do it, then pray for the desire to have the desire. You catch that? Pray for the desire to have the desire. "Lord, I really know that I should care more, but I don't. Can you make me care a little bit more?" And the Lord, again, you're opening a door for him, and he's going to help you. He's not going to say no if you're interested in becoming a holier person. This is what Zacchaeus did. He ran ahead and climbed a tree because he wanted to see Jesus. He tried. He made the effort. If you make the effort, now this is going to take time. The Lord doesn't change us overnight. It's a process. But if you make the effort to get close to him, to move away from your sin, to change the way you are. If you really want to change, he's going to respond. I promise you that. But don't expect it to happen overnight, but expect something to happen. So Zacchaeus is up in the tree, right? Now, there's probably all kinds of people in the crowd who are following the law a lot more closely than Zacchaeus is. Remember, he's a tax collector. He's a wealthy man. We know nothing about his spirituality, but odds are he's not a, quote, holy person, right? But here's a guy that makes a sincere desire to see Jesus. And what happens? Jesus sees him up in the tree. Jesus sees Zacchaeus up in the tree. He looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down quickly. For today I must," catch that, "I must stay at your house." The other people are probably saying, "Wait a minute, why is he going to stay in the house of this sinner? Why not me?" And what does Zacchaeus do? He responds. He comes down quickly. He listens to Jesus. That's the power of the encounter with Jesus. Every one of us can have that encounter. Every day, we have the ability to have an encounter with Jesus in a spiritual sense, through scripture, through prayer, through his real presence in the Blessed Sacrament, either at Mass or at Eucharistic Adoration. We can encounter him through the Sacrament of Confession. These are the encounters we can have every day with Jesus, just like Zacchaeus did. So this encounter affected the tax collector. So he gets down out of the tree quickly, and he received Jesus with joy. So he said, "Yeah, you want to stay at my house? Sure." He didn't say, "Let me go straighten up. I got to change things." No. Jesus came to him just as he was. He said, "I want to come into your house." And I think that's a key point that we need to remember. Don't wait to be perfect until you have a relationship with Jesus. He wants you the way you are. And I think we sometimes get hung up on that. I'm not worthy. Of course we're not worthy. But the Lord knows that. So he wants to enter into that relationship. Come as you are. You know, you got those sinful habits. You're doing the wrong things. Go to Jesus right now. And gradually, through that relationship, guess what's going to happen? He's going to change you so that you will be able to break free of the things that are weighing you down. So what happened when Jesus went to visit Zacchaeus? Okay, all of the holier-than-thou people chime in and are starting to say, "Wait a minute. He's going to stay at the house of a sinner. What's up with that? He should be staying with us." Jesus knows that we are all sinners. Jesus does not resist, will not resist an open door. If you open the door of your heart to Jesus, he's going to come in. Don't worry about what other people say. Don't worry about people pointing out. You say you're a friend of Jesus, and look at what a sinner you are. I've heard that, and it hurts when you hear it. But yeah, I know I'm a sinner. But with the help of the Holy Spirit, he can change me. But you have to admit that you're a sinner. That's the deal with conversion. You can't convert until you admit there's something to convert from. And that's what we all have to do. We have to say, "Yeah, I can't do this. Believe it. Believe it or not, believe me, I should say, when I tell you this, there's no way that I feel I can be holy," excuse me, "and eliminate many, many nasty habits in my life. But that doesn't stop me from trying. I ask the Lord every day, 'Lord, help me to be more patient with people. Help me to care more. Help me to deny myself.' I have a really hard time with self-denial and fasting and self-control sometimes. It's not easy for me, but the Lord knows that. But I really want to change. I really want to please him. I want to help Jesus. I want to comfort him because he suffered a lot for me." But Zacchaeus, you know, he ignored what the people said. And this is the conversion that's coming about because of the relationship, the encounter with Jesus. "Lord, half of my possessions I shall give to the poor." In other words, that's not something he's been doing. Shall, that's future tense. I will, from this point on, give half of what I have to the poor. He's converting. His heart is softening. "And if I have extorted anything from anyone, I shall repay it four times over." This is a man whose heart was changed through an encounter with Jesus Christ. That same thing, that same opportunity exists for each one of us. You start receiving Holy Communion each day if you can, or maybe a couple times extra per week in addition to Sunday. You spend time in adoration. You spend time reading the Bible. You spend time in prayer. You spend time going to confession. Your heart will be changed. You will become a changed person. Again, it takes time. It's a gradual process. That's how Jesus ordinarily works. But there will be an effect there if you give him a chance. Now, let's look at the first reading, and that conversion theme will continue. We go to the book of Wisdom, beginning in chapter 11, verse 22. Wisdom 11, verse 22, I should say. Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance or a drop. Let me read that again. Before the Lord, the whole universe is as a grain from a balance or a drop of morning dew come down upon the earth. But you have mercy on all, because you can do all things, and you overlook people's sins that they may repent. For you love all things that are, and loathe nothing that you have made. For what you hated, you would not have fashioned. And how could a thing remain unless you willed it or be preserved, had it not been called forth by you? But you spare all things because they are yours, O Lord and lover of souls, for your imperishable spirit is in all things. Therefore you rebuke offenders little by little, warn them and remind them of their sins they are committing, that they may abandon their weakness and believe in you, O Lord. See, this is an incredibly important point. The Lord overlooks our offenses, if you will. I love the way that's put in this first reading. He gives us time to change our ways. He understands. He has mercy. He has allowed me a lot of years on this earth to try to get my act together, and I am still very much working on it. What incredible mercy he shows to us. We should have all been, I mean, if sometimes we say God is not fair, and that's a really good thing, because if he was fair, if we were treated like we deserved, we'd be in hell a long time ago. Let's be honest. There's so many sins that I've committed throughout my life. I've turned away from him. I've done evil so many times. But he's merciful, you see. So no matter what you are, what you have done in your life, and I got a feeling I'm speaking to somebody here. I really want you to hear this, and I think somebody specifically needs to hear this message. Don't despair. Turn to the Lord. If it's been a long time, go to confession. Say you're sorry to the Lord through the person of the priest, and he will absolve you of your sins. But even so, you might be lukewarm. That's the life I lived for many years. I still contend to be a little lukewarm at times. Today's the day. Lord, from now on, I'm going to really try. I'm going to try to remember you throughout the day and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Sometimes we just get so caught up in distractions and pleasure-seeking and comfort that we forget to turn to the Lord. Well, today's the day. This is all the time we have. Today is the day. We need to focus on this today. Today, Lord, I want to convert. I want to change. I want to put you first in my life. And I know you realize that I am a sinner, but you don't care. You want to accept me that way. You want to change me, but you will come to me even though I'm a sinner. That's exactly what happened with Zacchaeus. That's the message of this first reading. The psalm today, Psalm 145, I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. I will extol you, O my God and King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is good to all and compassionate toward all his works. Let all of your works give you thanks, O Lord, and let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. The Lord is faithful in all his works and holy in all his works. The Lord is faithful in all his words and holy in all his works. The Lord lifts up those who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. Somebody who's bowed down is humble, and the Lord is kind and merciful and gracious. In other words, he's going to give you a break. He just wants you to turn to him. And in that first reading, one point I wanted to make, the point there is made that God didn't create anything bad. You are not a bad person. You are good. Everything God creates is bad, is good. Does that mean we sometimes do bad things? Yeah, it does. But it doesn't make us bad. Remember that. And he sees the goodness in you. Don't give up on yourself. The Lord sees the goodness in you. The second reading is from the second letter of St. Paul to the Thessalonians, beginning in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 11, I should say. Brothers and sisters, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith, that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, in accord with the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. We ask you, brothers and sisters, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our assembling with him, not to be shaken out of your mind suddenly, or to be alarmed either by a spirit or by an oral statement or by a letter allegedly from us to the effect that the day of the Lord is at hand. In other words, Paul is saying to the people of Thessalonica, hey guys, don't panic. Somebody's going to say the world's coming to an end, or something bad is going to happen to you, or the world is ending because of all this craziness. Don't worry about it. Be prepared, but don't dwell on it. That's really what I want to say. People sometimes dwell on the end times. Yeah, sure. We're in between times of the first and the second coming of Christ. So technically, yeah, we're in the end times. But the Lord Jesus, what did he say? I'm not going to tell you the day or the hour. Just treat this moment as the only moment you'll ever have. In other words, get busy today. Don't dwell on what might happen. But in the beginning of this reading, very quickly, Paul said, our God, we're praying for you. He's telling the people that our God may make you worthy of his calling and powerfully bring to fulfillment every good purpose and every effort of faith, that the name of our Lord may be glorified in you. See, this is this ongoing process. Paul is praying for the people that they can be purified and change and convert. That's the whole message today. And this is what we need to remember. This is possible for each of us. We're called to conversion. We're called to cast away the old self and take on the new self. And with the help of the Holy Spirit, that is 100% possible. Each of us, just like Zacchaeus, are called to encounter Jesus. So let's do it today. Let's make it a point to turn to the Lord. Look, I'm going to do it, and I would ask you to do it as well. And say, Lord, help me. Jesus, help me, because I can't do this on my own. And you know, he knows that you can't do it on your own, and he wants to help you. He wants to help you become holy and live with him forever in heaven. You are good. Don't let anybody convince you of anything else. Just continue to stay close to the Lord, okay? That's it for this week's program. I can't believe how fast the time goes. If you have any questions, please contact me, Gary, at followingthetruth.com, or go right to my website, followingthetruth.com. While you're there, check out my books, possibly make a donation so I can go forward with my ministry, or contact me through the website to bring me to your parish. All right, I'm getting ready to run. Thank you for listening to the Gary Zimek Show. Until we meet again, remember, wherever you go, whatever you do, the Lord is with you. Don't forget that. Make sure you turn around and say hi to him. We'll talk to you next time.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media, but today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com. Go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there, which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.